today's gospel is very clearly about the twofold commandment of love. This is the very heart of our religion. Before we get to that, I'd like to tell a little story just to remind us that we are constantly in formation. Maybe it's only for me, but I'll just try to share it as an example. A couple of days ago, I got a text from the parish. They wanted to know if I would be willing to offer Mass at a nearby school. My first reaction, of course, is, no, I don't want to do that again. I have plenty to do. I don't need to take on more ministry. And my experience with schools isn't too good. Generally, it's nothing to do with the attitude of the schools or the students, even they're positive, but they don't really know what a Mass is for the most part. Maybe they're not even Catholic, I don't know, but my experience is that when I have offered Mass in schools, I get the clear impression that nobody really knows what's happening. And one of the easiest ways to determine that is when I say, "The Lord be with you." If they don't say anything at all, it means either they're not Catholic or they've never been to Mass. If I say, "The Lord be with you," and they say, "And also with you," the students never say that, but the teachers might say it. If they say, "And also with you," that means they used to go to Mass, but for the past 10 years, or whatever it is, since we have the updated translation, they haven't been. So my position has generally been what these groups need is evangelization more than sacramentalization. They need catechesis. Anyway, I had this in my mind before I responded to the text. Fortunately, and I hope I've learned this over the years, I said a prayer, something to the effect of, "What do you want me to do, Lord? Should I take this or not?" I know that this is not a normal circumstance. Because of the lockdown, there aren't that many priests available, and there may be no priests available who could take on this Mass. So if I said no, it might be that the school might not have a Mass for the opening of their school year. So I was hesitant to say no. So I said, "Well, let me look at the readings." Sorry, the readings for today. Here it is. The Pharisees asking a question. Question and answer. A test. I said, "This is perfect for a school. It has a great, great gospel. This will not even be difficult. I can easily adapt this to an academic setting." It's all about an exam. Jesus is put to the test. Okay, well, that was in my mind. So I said, okay, I sent the text back to the parish. I said, "Yes, I can accept." Later in the afternoon, I got a message from the school. They have special readings, special readings for the opening of the school year. They're not going to use the readings of the day. So I said, "Oh, Lord, what was that all about?" And I could sense him laughing. He said, "I just wanted to know if you would say yes to my will or not." So I said yes to God, and now I have to prepare a homily on a different set of readings. Fine. I'm just saying, that's an example. See, we're all in formation. The Lord is always asking us to do his will and testing us. Are you going to do my will? Are you going to follow your own preferences or not? So I have another Mass later today. And now we're here. I picked up these readings, and what came back to my mind, of course, was this experience of the school. And it strikes me again, even though we're not in a school here, this is a school. We are in the school of the heart. And our lesson is, in this gospel, about the greatest of the commandments. The Pharisees are, in this gospel, taking on the position of teachers. And they think that Jesus is their student. And so they put him to the test. Here's your exam question. Here's your exam question. Which, even though they call him teacher, they're really acting as if he's the student. which commandment in the law is the greatest? Now, we know the attitude of the Pharisees. This isn't, they're not really seeking to know which commandment is the greatest. This is an academic exercise. This is not about, in their minds, not about them. It's about Jesus and about whether he can make the grade or not, whether he can pass the test. They want to show that he is not a teacher, or at least not a good teacher. They want to catch him saying something wrong so that they can fail him. And they have heard that Jesus has said things that to them sound blasphemous. He claims to be the Lord of the Sabbath. He claims to be greater than Solomon. He claims to be able to forgive sins and all these things. And they want to hear with their own ears, hear him say something that will prove that he is not a good teacher. In fact, he's a blasphemer. Jesus often answers questions with another question, or sometimes he evades the question by changing the topic a little bit. Not here. Here he gives a very straightforward answer, and in doing so, proves that he is the teacher, and these Pharisees are his students. They're putting him to the test, asking which commandment is the greatest, and he says, I want you to know which commandment is the greatest. I want to teach you what you should know. This is the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. Get it straight. Students, write it down. This is going to be on your exam at the end of the semester. Do you, love of God is the first thing. If you don't have this, you fail the course. Then Jesus adds the second. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the whole course. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. You either get these two and pass the class, or you don't get it and you fail. Now, it's a lesson not only for the Pharisees, of course, it's the lesson to us as well. The thing is, we know this already. We have heard this gospel before, we've heard this lesson before, we've taken this course before, and we know if anyone were to ask us, what's the greatest commandment? We would say, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then the teacher would say, okay, good answer. Now do what you have learned. Put into practice what you have been taught. You need on-the-job training, OJT. And for that, we can look at the example, the inspiring example of Ruth in today's first reading. We read from this little book from the Old Testament, Book of Ruth, today and tomorrow. Now, who is Ruth? Well, she's a Moabite. She's not a Jew. She belongs to another clan, another tribe, you'd have to say, ethnic group. I was reading a little bit yesterday about Afghanistan. Afghanistan is not really a country at all. It's really a collection of all kinds of tribal communities or tribal linguistic communities. So they don't think of themselves as Afghanis or Afghans. They think of themselves as whatever their tribe is. So here's Ruth. She's not a Jew, and she's a Moabite. So she's from the culture of the Moabites. She speaks the language of the Moabites, and she is raised to worship Moabite gods. Every tribe has its own gods. The Jews have their god, and they only have one. The Jews only have one. But all the other tribes, all the other peoples in the region, they have many gods, and the Moabites have their gods. So here's Ruth in Moab. Naomi, who is a Jew, and her husband, who's a Jew, they move to Moab. They're refugees. They're foreigners who move into Moab because there's a famine in Israel, in Judah. So they have two sons, and Ruth the Moabite marries one of Naomi's sons. Now Naomi's husband dies, Naomi's two sons die, and there's Naomi, the Jew from Bethlehem, in Moab with her two Moabite daughters-in-law. One of them is Ruth. And so Naomi says, what am I doing here? Foreigner? I don't have any reason to be here anymore. I'll go back home. And this is where Ruth surprises us with her determination to go with Naomi. Naomi says, well, look, your sister-in-law went back to her people. Why don't you go back to your people? Go back to your God. What are you following me for? As if Naomi was not even encouraging her to follow the Lord. But Ruth says, and this is the line that is so striking in this reading and in this whole book of Ruth, do not ask me to abandon or forsake you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. It's a statement of absolute commitment. It's love in practice. I'm giving myself to you. I'm uniting myself with you. I'm on the same journey with you. Both social, cultural journey and religious journey. Your God is my God now. How did Ruth get this? We don't know. I don't know the background. But perhaps she heard Naomi praying, reciting the prayer that the Jews say every day. The Lord our God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. There's only one God, and we follow him with everything that we are. That's the Jews' daily statement. Maybe Ruth heard Naomi praying that and realized Naomi knows God. Naomi follows the one true God. There must be something like that. There must have been something in Naomi that inspired Ruth to go out of herself. Yes, maybe she's also concerned about Naomi herself, the person. She's a widow. She's the poorest of the poor. And here she is going to travel by herself back to Judah. That maybe it was just a concern for her mother-in-law. So you can't just let her go wandering through the wilderness by herself. But it's concern for Naomi, but it's also an awareness that Naomi has something that Ruth wants or that attracts Ruth's heart, her religious spirit. Naomi's God is the true God. So what we have here is Ruth not only learning the principle of love of God and neighbor, maybe she was never taught that. Maybe she never went to she didn't go to the classes that the Jews went to. I don't know what she learned, but whatever she learned in her classroom, whether it was true or not, or complete or not, she was able to live it out in practice. She had, this is her OJT. she's doing what we're all supposed to do. She's loving God and she's loving her neighbor. So that's why Ruth stands out for us as an example, even though she's an unlikely example because she's a foreigner, a Moabite. She's a good example because she does the will of God, because she loves God and loves her neighbor. She follows the two greatest commandments. Now we'll find out in tomorrow's reading that Ruth is also, she marries another Jew, marries into the line of the Jews, and is an ancestress of King David, meaning she also becomes the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. So Ruth is part of the genealogy. Okay. If we want to be part of the family of Jesus, we have to follow these two commandments that he teaches. We have to be good students, not only learning, but putting into practice love of God and love of neighbor.